RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with Beans. Frank's a little bit under the weather today. I gave him the day off, but I'm going to sit here with my good friend Gigi. Yeah, she came all the way from Florida to come spend a happy Thanksgiving with the Beans family, and it was a lot of fun yesterday. We played, what was that game?
True or False,
yes, with my little nephew who's four. He won.
He did.
That's not saying very much about me or Gigi, but Gigi came in second and I just failed miserably. And then we were lamenting that they don't tell you the answers to the questions. It's terrible. So like if you get a false, you don't know what the true answer is. So I'm probably going to be a little bit of a shorter show today. However, I noticed yesterday that this story started percolating out there about this new variant of COVID. And I'm going to pull up an article that I saw first. So they had this article last night from Robert Malone posted about this yesterday in the middle of the day and said, as Geert Vandenbosch has been warning, resulting in his being canceled and deplatformed due to his prohibited wrongthink and thought crime, WHO called special meeting to discuss new COVID variant found in South Africa with a large number of mutations. Okay. So the first version of this article that I read, which I can't find right now, I read yesterday during the day, and they were saying, we really don't know what this means. There are very few cases of this found, and there are, you know, at least 30 mutations, but we don't know what this is going to do to the viability of the virus, whether it'll make it more transmissible, or how it will behave, or if it will be like basically sturdy because there are so many mutations to the spike protein. Now, look, this is something that we have been saying is going to happen for weeks and weeks and weeks because of the vaccine. It's very specific to one version of the spike protein. What's going to happen when the virus cannot, you know, it hits antibodies responsible for that spike protein? How is it going to mutate to get around it? And that seems to be what's happening here. So this article from CNBC that Dr. Malone shared has been changed a bunch since then. But Jeff Childers from Coffee and COVID had a newsletter out this morning that totally hit it home for me. It's like a little kid running behind the pack, trying to catch up. The WHO finally caught up on the kicking down the narrative action yesterday. There are two related stories. First, the Global Health Agency called a, quote, special meeting to discuss a new variant numbered B11529. The special concern is that the variant's mutations are found in its spike protein. Now, remember, the mRNA vaccines are designed to force your own body to manufacture spike proteins from the original alpha or wild type variant. They're very specific. The spike proteins are computer coded to the original design. And this specificity has generated criticism of the injections because as the virus mutates, especially in the area of the spike protein, some scientists believe that the body's highly specific injection induced antibodies will overlook some of the new types of spikes. In other words, the injections could stop working or in the worst case, leave injected people defenseless against a new variant. Natural antibodies, on the other hand, recognized at least 28 different proteins in coronavirus, not just the spike protein. So even if the spike mutated beyond recognition, the other 27 parts of the virus would still trigger an immune response. That's probably one reason why natural immunity is so much broader and more long-lasting than injection immunity. Anyway, the WHO is holding an emergency meeting today, which is Friday, to discuss a new variant with numerous mutations to the spike protein and discuss what it may mean for vaccines and treatments or therapeutics, as they mentioned in the CNBC article here. They mentioned actually treatments. Dutch vaccine designer Geert Vandenbosch has long been canceled off social media for warning since day one that the narrowly designed but broadly administered injections will just accelerate viral mutation towards vaccine escape. Because the injections are so specific, all vaccine escape would need is a single mutation to the spike sufficient to evade the two-year-old alpha type spike antibodies. The new variant popped up in South Africa, where scientists identified more than 30 mutations in the new variant spike protein. Worse, it appears to be highly contagious, which I'm not on the board with, guys, yet. Another necessary precondition for vaccine escape. Reports say the variant has already spread rapidly through Johannesburg and the rest of the Gauteng province. However, that's not really what I'm reading. It's a few cases here and there, one in Hong Kong and one somewhere else, which means obviously this variant is spreading. But what exactly does it mean? It's also been found in Botswana. Even though the UK immediately shut down travel with South Africa, which, guys, stocks are down like 800 points today on this news of this new scary COVID variant. Look, how about we just stop it? Okay, this is getting ridiculous now. What they'll try to decide today at the WHO is whether this is a variant of interest or a variant of concern. And if it's a variant of concern, it will be a Greek letter. Either way, not only do the injections efficacy wane quickly in the short term, even against variants with typical alpha type spikes, but they are doomed in the medium term because the virus will eventually mutate its spike into something that the narrow injection induced antibodies can't see. And when that happens, it will really scare the injected people because they're completely powerless and nobody knows what will happen when they get sick with it. Now, this is what I've been arguing. And you know what? I'm not a scientist or a doctor of any kind, but I've been arguing that when vaccinated people are reinfected, it's a problem because we've seen it in study over and over and over and over again. And this is why they wanted to get rid of all the unvaccinated people, because now, God forbid, all of the vaccinated people get this variant and do very, very bad with it. It's going to be very, very clear that it is a pandemic of the vaccinated and not the unvaccinated. It says here in the coffee and COVID newsletter that I read every day, we don't know yet whether B11529 is the one or whether the European surges are this variant or a similar one or just Delta. But even if B11529 is not the one, it shows us that the one is probably right around the corner somewhere. People with natural immunity, healthy people, and those with high vitamin D levels should be fine. But we should probably focus on early treatment and prevention for injected folks and at-risk people who haven't had COVID yet, like now before Florida's winter wave gets going. But that's not all. Right on the heels of this variant's coming out party on Thanksgiving, the WHO made a major if belated announcement, and we played a clip of this the other day on the show. According to the UPI, the Global Health Agency said it is concerned about inoculated people developing a false sense of security. Oh, my goodness. So we're literally back where we were before we vaccinated anybody, which was let's focus on early therapeutic treatments and preventatives if possible. And stop with this nonsense. Like, they're never going to be able to vaccinate a virus, ever. The flu vaccine doesn't work. This COVID vaccine clearly doesn't work. And the toll that it has taken on everybody, for what benefit at this point at all? I mean, the amount of injury, death, it's terrible. It's terrible. So here we are back at square one. And this variant, just so everyone knows, was identified on November 11th. But they chose yesterday. They chose actually the 23rd, I think, was when they started really talking about it. Within a few hours of each other on the 23rd, every international corporate media ran almost identical stories about this terrifying new variant, hundreds of them. And then Jeff Childers says, I know what you're thinking. Come on now. Even though the scary stories all came out in nearly every major country at essentially the exact same time, it was definitely not coordinated. Stop looking for conspiracy, guys. Totally uncoordinated. The one thing that bothers me about all of this is, and Gigi's sitting here reading her phone. I don't know if she's listening.
I am.
She is. What are they going, like, they never tell us what it means for somebody like me, who has never had COVID and is not vaccinated. Like, am I going to, like, be exposed to COVID when it's, like, the absolute worst COVID there could be? Or will it follow the natural kind of way that viruses go and get weaker but more transmissible because it needs to infect more people? Or are just the vaccinated people going to suffer, like, immensely? Oh, I have to open that door.
But you're taking care of yourself and taking vitamins and...
Yeah, and I'm on prophylaxis.
So,
but is ivermectin going to work the same as it does? I don't think that ivermectin doesn't mess with the spike protein. It just stops replication. So I think it'll still work. Hold on, I got to...
Yeah, you're taking care of yourself, so...
Well, it's just all these questions. We never get answers. Like, they always talk about the vaccinated and the people that have had it, but never the few people that are left that haven't.
The pure bloods.
I know. I'm like one of those. They're going to hunt me down and, like, kidnap me for some lab experiment somewhere. Watch. ridiculous. There was also a study that came out too about reinfections in Qatar or Qatar or however you want to say it. And they did a study on people who were very few people, by the way, who were reinfected, quote, with COVID. Now, Dr. McCullough has done like several lectures on reinfection, and he doesn't believe it's ever even happened at all. He thinks that any reinfection was a false positive the first time, or they got a very light case and didn't build an immune response like Gigi had. Poor Gigi. She has long COVID. Gigi has long COVID. So, she's fine. Yeah, she had COVID when, what was it? August?
It was August 13th, Friday the 13th when I got it. And I'm still suffering with hair loss now.
She has hair loss. She has that hair loss from the COVID. And she has, like, her toes hurt her, but it's not COVID toe.
No, I don't know what it is, but it's still following me.
But you have energy.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I spend a lot of time yawning, and I don't know why. I could wake up, and I'm yawning. I still feel like I'm not back 100% 3 months later.
Yeah.
She got 4 months.
She had it bad.
3 months.
There's another thing floating around, too, that I don't necessarily, I listen to and I don't agree with. It's Dr. Artis, and he's talking about monoclonals. And the only reason he says he doesn't like the monoclonals is because they also used a set of monoclonal antibodies with remdesivir in the Ebola outbreak. And the monoclonals didn't work for Ebola, but that's a completely different set of circumstances. I know now probably more than 15 or 20 people who have gotten the monoclonal antibodies for COVID, and they've all worked. And they don't work the same as they do when they do them for a cancer treatment. It's completely different. What they're basically doing is introducing antibodies into your body. Your body recognizes the antibodies and creates its own because it sees, oh, okay. And everybody that I know that has had them is absolutely fine. Like, it's helped them. So nobody's even had a bad reaction to them. Kristen got them.
Okay. I got them like the last day.
Yeah, very late.
I advise if anybody does get COVID, just go right away.
Yeah.
You can if you have it in your state.
Yeah, if you can get them right away, if the rest of the stuff doesn't work. Well, she also had to wait days for her ivermectin, too many days, in my opinion, 3 or 4 days for ivermectin to treat it. And then we had a very interesting experience with the pharmacy back in August.
I had a fight with Walgreens, which was so ridiculous because they lied to me on the phone. The doctor gave a prescription to one Walgreens. I get there and they go, we don't have that. I'm like, all right, well, you said you had it when they gave you the prescription. Why do you not have it? And they said, well, why are you in here? And I didn't have COVID at the time. I was getting it from my husband who got it first. So I went back home, called the doctor again, and she said, look, call around and make sure another place has it. I did. I called up a different Walgreens, get in the car with my husband, go there to the window, and I say, I'm here to pick up my prescription. They look at each other, they start typing in something and say, well, we don't have it. And now I'm annoyed. And I looked at them and said, you're lying. Mm-hmm. I called you. You said you had it. I get here 20 minutes later and you suddenly don't have the prescription that was called in. They sent me away, sent me back 45 minutes later, went through this whole thing again. Finally, they gave it to me. It was supposed to cost $6.
They wouldn't give it to her on insurance. It was $300.
$297.
Yeah.
Which was so... They just ripped me off on purpose. They didn't want to give it out. They didn't want me to have it. It was like, who are these people? And the pharmacist actually came to the window. It wasn't like I was just talking to some random person that worked there. It was ridiculous.
She recorded it.
I did. I recorded it. I was so angry. And before I left, I said, you know, you're going to be famous because I work for an investigative journalist. I never did anything, but I was so angry.
Yeah. Then she suffered for like literally 3 weeks afterwards. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It was bad. She had COVID really bad.
I couldn't even stay awake.
Yeah.
And I don't wish COVID on anyone, but I would never get the vaccine, no matter what.
Especially not now.
No. Well, I wouldn't have gotten it I would just not have gotten it at all after everything I've read and, you know.
Well, what you know?
Yeah.
We know too much.
Yes.
It's terrible. So now we've got a pandemic of the vaccinated with this new with this new variant that they're like, they literally had people on the planes coming into the UK from, I saw it on Citizen Free Press. They had people coming in. They wouldn't let them off the plane. I mean, it's just, it's, this is, and Dr. McCullough had a clip. Hold on. I'm going to find it that I was looking at yesterday.
I flew here this morning from Florida, and I sat next to a couple, and they were looking at my slides as I was working on them. You know, people kind of look on the airplane, and they said, wow, are you a COVID expert? I said, well, yeah, I'm sort of. And then the woman was sitting in the middle. She was thinner. You know how, you know, Southwest when you're kind of negotiating? And so she sat in the middle, and the husband was sitting on the inside. And he was kind of in a fetal position. He didn't look too good. And she said, well, my husband just took the booster. And I said, oh. So I had a chance to talk to him when he kind of was in semi-conscious. You know, he kind of came up. And I said, well, what does it feel like? I said, is it about the same as shot one and shot two? He goes, it's so much worse. And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, I've got fever. I feel terrible. I got body aches. And he goes, and the ringing in my ears is incessant. The headache. And the wife is like, why?
Why? Why? And it stops. And he talks about like how the spike protein can cross and do all kinds of things. But like, would you want to sit on that plane with that guy? I mean, how are you? It's okay if you are sick from a booster shot to go flying around the country?
That's okay. That's okay. I don't get it. I just don't.
Like, your body's producing spike protein and doing who knows what else. And you're allowed to get on a plane and fly to see your family or wherever you're going in a fetal position. These are the people. This is why I don't travel on planes.
Well, I caught COVID from...
Yes.
I got a vaccine.
Yes.
That's how I got it.
Gigi was in a room full of vaccinated people.
Yeah.
And got COVID right after. Literally.
I live in Florida, and I was around unvaccinated people for 2 years. Nobody I know got the vaccination. I go on a family reunion, and it appeared everybody on my husband's family got vaccinated within a short period of time while I was around them. And on the way home after that, we stopped at a friend's house of my husband, and they had just gotten vaccinated. Of course, I come home, my husband immediately gets COVID, and it didn't make any sense because we know we got it from one of those people.
And you still can't smell.
I still can't smell. That's the other thing. I have never gotten my sense of smell back. And it's 3 months, and it's horrible to not be able to smell anything.
But you're alive.
Yes, I'm alive. And I honestly, again, I would not wish COVID on anyone, but I would not recommend getting a vaccine because, number one, why aren't they telling people who are vaccinated to stay home for 48 hours at least? Why are they not saying that? But they've never said that, not even with the flu vaccine. I always ask people who got a flu vaccine, did the doctor tell you to stay home? And they say no. And they just go out and talk shopping, and this is how the flu spreads. It's the same thing.
Yeah, people don't care.
They know. They don't know. They don't know. Doctors are the ones who don't care, it seems.
Well, speaking of which, not to make this just entirely about COVID, but there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out about COVID today. There is a cardiologist who's warning that heart attacks are caused by the COVID vaccine, but they won't publish their research because they don't want to piss off Big Pharma. So let's just kill everyone. And, you know, you'll keep your funding.
Seeing this abstract publication circulation, I was concerned about it for a number of reasons. So first and foremost, we have to understand that there's been a shift in understanding of heart disease over the years, that we know now it's a chronic inflammatory condition that is exacerbated by something called insulin resistance, which we've talked about on the show before, which is related to poor lifestyle. Now, what this abstract has shown, what this research has shown, is that markers associated with increasing the risk of heart attack and probably even progression of underlying heart disease in people who've already got some heart disease has been significantly increased risk from 11% at 5 years risk of heart attack to 25%. Now, that's a huge increase. If this is true, then it's very concerning indeed. But in medicine, in good science, we never rely on one study. We need to replicate these findings. However, what I will share with you today on GB News is a few days ago, after this was published, somebody from a very prestigious British institution, cardiology department, researcher, a whistleblower, if you like, contacted me to say that the researchers in this department had found something similar within the coronary arteries linked to the vaccine, inflammation from imaging studies around the coronary arteries. And they had a meeting, and these researchers at the moment have decided they're not going to publish their findings because they are concerned about losing research money from the drug industry. Now, this person was very upset about it, and I wanted to obviously share this on GB News today. What I would say is that we then, knowing this information, which is very concerning, Stephen Gundry's paper in Circulation, and also anecdotal evidence. I mean, I have a lot of interaction with the cardiology community across the UK, and anecdotally, I've been getting told by colleagues that they are seeing younger and younger people coming in with heart attacks. Now, what does this mean in terms of the data? We have to put the jigsaw for the pieces together. We know since July, there's been almost 10,000 excess non-COVID deaths. And most of those, or significant proportion of those, have been driven by circulatory disease, in other words, heart attack and stroke. There's been a 30% increase in people dying at home. And often these are because of cardiac arrest. Of course, this is also something close to my heart because my own father is one of those statistics. He had a cardiac arrest at home July the 26th. So when this data has been collected. So where do we go from here? I think the signal is quite strong. I personally think that this needs investigating. So I think the Joint Committee of Vaccines and Immunization should absolutely investigate this. I think that the researchers, I really hope that they take a look in the mirror and realize the ones from where this whistleblower's come from. They realize that they should publish this stuff because their duty primarily is to patients, not the interests of the drug industry. And I think the third thing, and this has been a discussion that's been ongoing, I think now it's high time that policymakers around the world put an end to the mandates. Because I think if this signal is strong and if it's correct, then history will not be on their side and the public will not forgive them for it, Alex. So this is very concerning. It needs investigating, and hopefully it can be resolved very soon. I think the other thing to mention as well, we shouldn't ignore the other possibilities of why there's been an increase in heart attacks. So part of the stuff I've done in my research and analysis over the years is looking at the lifestyle factors that drive heart disease and heart attacks. And the other things that we know have also happened, which also I'm sure a contributing factor, is people's diets got worse.
People's diets got worse. They didn't go to the doctor. They didn't go to the... See... I get it. What was it that they couldn't go to the doctor like 3 or 4 months and then they were back to normal? Like, people are saying, like, pathologists are coming out and saying they're seeing a 20% and 30% increase in certain cancers. And everybody's saying, oh, that's because they didn't go and get treated soon enough. No, no, no. Those people would have gotten cancer and been a part of that statistic anyway. They're seeing an increase in it. Like, those people, if they were going to get it or had it, would have had it. And they would have been in the normal number of people that had it. They're seeing an increase by 20 to 30% over year. That doesn't have anything to do with delaying treatment, because if they would have gone in and gotten it treated, it still would have counted as a number. I hope that makes sense. I don't know if I'm making sense with that, but I think that's just terrible. And just for those of you guys who were wondering, that was Dr. Asim Malhotra. He is a cardiac specialist. Let's change topics a little bit, because this really made me laugh last night, sort of. LeBron James gets two Pacer fans kicked out of the game, and trending on Twitter is La Snitch instead of LeBron. And then underneath, Citizen Free Press has a picture of LeBron crying and Kyle Rittenhouse scrubbing the tears off of his like he was scrubbing the graffiti off of the wall. Very funny. Oh, goodness. That's it for today. I'm done. It's the Black Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with Beans flying solo alongside the beautiful Gigi. We will be back on Monday, hopefully with good tidings and cheer and things to laugh about. So you've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with Beans and Gigi. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Monday. And I'll throw in Frank's liner.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.